Well, we are continuing with these Beatitudes and asking that question. If Jesus is serious, then what? Right? And we're seeing over and over again now as we dig into these words of our Lord that his call on us, his desire for us is deep and it's all-encompassing. And if we were to take his words seriously, then these are striking things in such a stark contrast with our world that we live in. More and more and more, I think we see that, and I think we will see that more and more today. Now today, I'm going to take a little closer look at verse 5. In the Beatitude, it says, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." So I want us to think about meekness, being meek. Just a moment, just kind of think in your head, what image does that bring up in your thoughts? What kind of person do you see in your mind when you think of someone that is meek? It's an interesting word, and not one that we often talk about or attribute to people, and at least not in a positive way. You know, a lot of times we see someone who's meek, or we think they're meek, it's in a negative way. They need to be more bold. You know, a coach telling a ball player, you gotta stop being so meek and go for it, hit him, or shoot or drive or whatever it is. We don't elevate meekness in our culture too much. Now, thesis today, looking from our little book here that we've been basing a lot of this off, what if Jesus was serious? And the thought for the day is, if Jesus was serious, then we will trust God more and politics less. Now, I know, you see, even just the word politics, especially in our day in which we live, almost just automatically puts us into us-them mode. It's just how our country, our politics that we are in right now, that's what it does. It puts us into tribes, into camps, into, you know, teams. I'm on this side, you're on that side. Okay? But stay with me, okay? Don't shut me off. It's a good word, and I think we'll see. I think what meekness has to do with politics. Okay, there's a connection here, and I want us to make sure we get it. The question of how does blessed are the meek connect and speak to the issue of politics and how we look at those things. Now, what I want to do in trying to make this connection and understand this beatitude a little more, I think, is one, we want to define our terms. Okay, we want to make sure we understand what we're talking about. We talk about being meek and politics and how it's used and those kind of things. And we want to make sure then, as we think about what those things mean in our culture, in our world, that we put a scriptural lens on those terms and try to understand them in a bigger context of God's kingdom and what he has for us. Again, if we want to take these words seriously. And then as we hopefully get that better understanding of terms relative to God's view of things, then how then does it apply? How does it affect us as God's people in our everyday lives, which includes our politics? Okay? So that's where we want to go today. So let's have some definitions here. All right? Meekness, or being meek. Again, I don't know about you. Maybe I'm just putting my own thoughts upon this. But again, when I think of meek, it's not, generally speaking, a positive connotation for somebody. You know, we don't look at our sports heroes and elevate the meek. You know, we don't look at our politicians. We'll talk about more later and elevate the meek necessarily, right? But as far as definitions go, if you just look it up, you know, Google it, or, you know, an actual dictionary. Meekness, someone quiet, gentle, easily imposed upon, submissive. So you can see how those kind of words in our culture, where we elevate the strong, the bold, the imposing, might cause us to pause. Another way we can think about it in a little more biblical lens might be this. An attitude or quality of heart whereby a person is willing to accept and submit without question the will of someone else. Now hear that. Willing to accept and submit without question, without resistance, to the will of someone else, to God, to one another. That is the posture of meekness, I think, biblically speaking. And it kind of goes in contrast to then an idea of power, right? If we have power, then we can oppose our will. If we have power, then we can make the terms and have others submit. Now, as I think about power, and we think about, again, our world, where do we see power? Where is power concentrated, or how is it used? And I think, generally speaking, there's a lot of places probably, but in my mind, I think of corporations, business, big businesses, right? Very powerful, and how they can affect us and the things we do, things we buy. But and then also the other one, the big one, is politics, right? That's where power is concentrated. That's where power is used. That's where power is desired, hung on to in our politics. And as we look at the idea of the meek then, the meek are the powerless. In fact, the powerful are the polar opposite of the meek. The opposite of meekness would be arrogance, boldness, or pride. So what do we do with this? Blessed are the meek. Now, we've been saying all along, right? We're not saying necessarily that these Beatitudes are something to seek after in order to gain favor or be better. Okay? It puts us in an anti-gospel sort of position there. I'm going to do something to gain favor. So I'm not going to try to be poor. I'm not going to go out and mourn necessarily. All right? So we want to keep a balance there. But this idea of meekness is unique. In fact, the next few, meekness, pure in heart, peacemakers, a little different connotation here we have to take seriously. Now let's think about what Jesus was addressing here. All right? We have to think about the context of the time a bit. When Jesus is saying, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth, what was Jesus addressing? What were people hear when he says something like that? So a couple things we need to keep in mind. One, inherit the earth. It's kind of a really broad category, the earth, all right? So we may think, okay, I don't know, future, inherit the earth, that kind of thing. A better word, I think, especially in Jesus as he's talking, would be land. Just inherit the land. Now, we know historically, all through God's in his dealings with his people, Israel and then us, that his blessing and his showing of who he was and the faithfulness of his people was tied into the land, right? If you were faithful and followed God and did the things you're supposed to do, then you will dwell in the land and have peace and God with you. And if you're unfaithful, then you will be cut off from your land and exiled. That was the picture they always had. And in Jesus' time then, what we're seeing was a time where they were in the land, but occupied by the Romans. And so in a sense, they were exiled in their own land. This Roman occupation, we know from just historical documents and even reading the Bible that this was an abhorrent situation for them. Embarrassing, humiliating to have these Gentiles, these unclean people rule over them. To have a thumb on them and tell them what they could or could not do. And so if you filter it through that, what Jesus is talking about, that idea of the land. In Psalm 37:11, it says, the meek will inherit the land. Right? So even in Old Testament times, when God is speaking to his people, it's just this attitude of humility. It's those who are the gentle, the meek who will inherit the land. But the temptation in situations where it's dire, where you're humiliated, where it's embarrassing, where you don't want it, you want to take control. And in Jesus' time, there were these folks called zealots. Zealots. And the zealots were those who were Jews, who sought, who desired the ouster of the Romans. Again, for good reasons. Some, you know, they just said, this is not God's will to have these people over us here. So the zealots were those who wanted to inherit the land, to be part of the land and expel these Gentile Romans by use of force. Take on that posture of war and violence and whatever means it would take to get them out, the ends justifying the means. Now, for the Romans, these folks were terrorists and were hunted down as such. But for most Jews, for a lot of them anyway, they were the freedom fighters, There are those who are standing up for their rights and who they were as a people, using power then to accomplish God's will. And so the question we have to consider here as we think of this context and meekness, where do you place your trust? When things are against you, when your situation is bad, it's frustrating, where do you trust? Where is your trust? Where is your solution come from? Now, when we consider power, let's go back to that. Now, power in itself isn't a bad thing, necessarily, right? We serve a powerful God. And throughout Scripture, especially in the New Testament, what does Acts 1:8 tell us? You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes, right? So there's a real sense of God's power in our lives through the Holy Spirit. But again, it's through the Spirit. And as good Trinitarians here at Trinity Evangelical Free, right? The Holy Spirit is God, right? So it's that is where the power comes from. That is where the source of it, where we place ourself in, our trust in, it's in God. And what's it for? You receive power so that you can overthrow governments. You will have power so that you can rule in your politics. No, you receive power for God's kingdom, for His purposes, for spreading the word, the gospel out to all nations. And so we have to think about power in a different way. God's kingdom is, again, we say it over and over, is upside down in many ways, that power. I heard a very interesting, kind of funny thing this week. Someone was talking about the Holy Spirit. And in fact, in Sunday school, we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit, right? So this is an interesting thing. And I don't know how you guys think about the Spirit. It's an odd thing to think that there's a Spirit and is it what, spooky ghost, you know, and King James calls the Holy Ghost, you know, and you think about it, it's in you and how that works, what that means. And I don't know, some of you don't even think, I don't know, it's hard to think of the Spirit sometimes in those ways and the reality of the Spirit. If you ask a Christian, is the Holy Spirit? Yeah, I got the Spirit, I guess. And you think, folks, think about what that is. To have God Himself in you and empowering you. And the illustration this guy gave in trying to understand that was, and kind of nerding out a little bit, but in the Lord of the Rings, if you remember, Frodo, Bilbo gave him some chainmail of mithril, right? So he had this mithril thing, and he put it on under his coat, right? And then Frodo overheard some folks talking and said, "You know, Bilbo, he got a lot of treasure from Smaug, right? But the thing that was most valuable was this coat of mithril." In fact, that, you know, because it's like 100 times stronger than the other metal, but it's 100 times lighter. In fact, you know, that coat of mithril will probably be worth more than the entire mountain of treasure that Smaug had. And Frodo realizes what he had on him. Yeah, it wasn't just this mail, but it was great, but an incredibly, incredibly valuable, powerful thing. And so the Spirit, sometimes we just forget we have this thing that's on us, in us, that's more powerful than anything. What is more powerful than God? Then that is in you. And so when we think about power and politics and those kind of things, we have to keep our perspective here, don't we? All right, so if we're getting the definitions then of meekness, power, when Jesus says, blessed are the meek, then is this, as we've talked, is this descriptive what a Christian should be? Or is it proscriptive in the saying that the meek will have a lot to gain from the kingdom of God? The meek, you know, are those who would benefit greatly or be very receptive to God and His kingdom. What's God telling us? Does He tell us to go out and be meek people? How do we do that? I think, again, if we contrast meekness and power, there is a practical use of power. And the world looks at it one way, but the kingdom of God looks in a very different way. And it's here, we think about power. I think oftentimes, again, hard to speak in broad strokes sometimes, but often Christians buy into the idea, like the zealots did, that they see, you know, okay, let's just, you know, United States of America. And we can see all the problems, right? And they are vast. We can see you know, again, whatever side of the political aisle you might be in, this us, them, binary, whatever you want to do with it, there are problems. And as Christians, we may see even deeper problems that other folks may not see, just moral issues, you know, freedoms, how those are used. And so we then want to engage. And again, we should. I mean, as citizens of a place, we can engage politically. You know, run for office, vote, please, absolutely. But are we, I think sometimes we go too far and we treat politics like the zealots did, that if we get into office, if we only had control of the political levers, then God's people, you know, then God will bless this nation, then we'll have our freedoms, then we'll see revival, all these different things. And so we justify bad behaviors or, you know, political machinations to gain what we want, worldly power to accomplish God's purposes. And we need to be careful. And I say that because, and here's what I'll just tell you. I think when Jesus says, blessed are the meek, that this is a case where we are to seek being meek people. And here's why, okay? Here's why. That word meek, or meekness here, also can mean gentle. It can mean, you know, just, you know, peaceful. And in Matthew 5:5, the word, it's an adjective. It's a praesis, praeis, okay? I'll get nerdy for you a little bit. Just hang with me, okay? So an adjective, in Greek, there's, you know, like some languages, there's male and female and or neuter tones, you know, words, male, female, okay? We don't do that in English, but in Greek they do. So in adjectives, you can have a male form, a female form, or a neuter form. And here it's a female. So praeis is the female adjective, meek or gentle. The male is praus, and the neuter is prau, okay? Now, here's my connection, and this is why I'm being nerdy for you. Galatians chapter 5, you know, talks about fruit of the Spirit. And one of those fruit in verse 23 is gentleness, right? We want to be gentle people. Prautes. The noun for gentleness is prautes. It's the same root, the same idea. Gentleness, meekness. It's the same thing. So that meekness that Jesus talks about in Matthew, in fact, if you have a New American Standard Bible, they translate it, blessed are the gentle, for theirs they will inherit the earth. Okay, so it's the same idea. And so we have to get out of our heads this idea of a, you know, wimpy, milquetoast person. We're talking about a fruit of the Spirit that is indeed something we should absolutely seek after, but also understand that it's a result of God's Spirit in us. And in fact, was the example of Jesus that gives to us over and over. We sang today of that meekness of our Lord, who submitted himself to the will of the Father for us. That's the good news. And so that idea of meekness, of gentleness, of a willingness to be open and submit, that is a fruit of the Spirit. And in our culture, that is a very negative thing. And so there's the problem we run into then in our politics, right? Because we, okay, what politician goes on and says, you know, I'm just going to give in, or we don't see meek politicians, right? We don't elevate meek or lowly or gentle politicians. In fact, often we vote for someone because they'll fight for us, right? They're going to fight for us and our, whatever our agendas may be. Again, I'm not talking Democrat, Republican. They're all doing the same thing, folks. And if they can appear, at least appear as fighters for you, then we'll elect them again, and they can keep their hold on power, and that's what we want. Now, we want our politicians to stand up and do the right thing, right? But what I'm wondering is, especially with Christian politicians, I guess I would just want to see Christian politicians act Christianly. And part of that is going to be fruit of the Spirit, and one of those fruits is gentleness. Now, there can be a strength in gentleness, okay? This is not necessarily let people run over you. What politics are going to get then? One of the pictures I think of when I think of gentleness was, and I remember from years ago, you know how the picture of a lion, okay? And a mother lion, they have very powerful jaws. A lion can just get a hold of a bone or, you know, something like they're chasing a gazelle or whatever, and they get a hold of their leg or something like that, and they'll just put their jaw on it, and they will snap that bone, just like that. Bam! Very powerful. And you'll see that same mother lion grab a cub by the head in her mouth and pick it up and carry it away. That same jaw that could just crush it can gently hold their cub. So that's the picture, folks. We want to be gentle, meek, and strong. And our politics can reflect that. So this idea then, let's bring it together. All right. I hope it's making sense. Blessed are the meek, blessed are the gentle, for they will inherit the land. So there is an already not yet aspect here. For us as people here in Wisconsin, for us to inherit the land is that future event that Revelation tells about. When we will come into our inheritance, that we will have everything, right? Romans 8, everything, literally everything. And so we consider things in that way. Mr. Detani, in his book, when he talks about this, puts it this way. Let's see. By announcing that the meek were blessed and would inherit the land, Jesus was condemning the tactics of the zealots. He was proclaiming that it was not the powerful, violent, or angry who accomplished God's purposes, but the gentle, peaceful, and those who put their trust in him rather than the sword. This is an important reminder for those of us living in a divided land where everything has become politicized between us and them. Like the zealots, we can be tempted to use the world's ways, coercion, power, fear, to take back the land for God. Instead, Jesus calls us to put such things aside and discover the power of God available through meekness. It is by trusting the Lord and the meekness of his ways, not through the sword of politics, that the land is won. I understand that even amongst us, we're going to have some thoughts. That's okay. My desire for is not to push it towards a political party, or it's to be more like Jesus. To be more like Jesus in all of our lives. In our homes, in our marriages, in our schools, and in our politics. I just want us to think Christianly when we consider these things. And even when we disagree, even where we may think, okay, you know, this leader or that politician or whoever it may be, to consider that in the context of our Father of Christ. Two principles I think that we can draw from this then. One is that kingdom people do not try to force God's whole will on a world that's not prepared for it. Right? We can't. That is not how God's kingdom comes about. Now, of course, we were salt and light. We seek God's working in our politics and our policies, how we inform policy in home, and all those kind of things can be infused with us as Christians, who we are, but to force these sorts of things on a world that doesn't make sense to them. So we have to be careful that way and not try to use power in that sort of a way. To imagine as Christians that if only we can get our people in these places, then everything's going to be great. Well, I don't think that's how it works. And two, I think what this beatitude, and again, all of them, tell us is that God favors the humble. God's favor, God works, God's power is shown through the humble, those who trust in him rather than their own strength or in the world's strength. That is what it means then to be meek, to be blessed, not in the power of the politician, but in the power of God's spirit in our lives. To act Christianly, to vote Christianly, and to seek God's will in our communities, in our world, Christianly, not through the sword. Because we know that that is not God's way, and nor should be our way. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we are thankful to you and the example you give to us. What we're saying today, we want to be like Jesus. And in Jesus, we see great strength, great power, and we saw willingness to submit to you and your will and to the cross for our sakes. And so, Lord, I pray that you would make us more like Jesus. in our homes, in our communities, and even in our politics. And we thank you and give you the glory. Amen.